Turn your Bibles tonight to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, 3 verses, 16, 17, and 18. We'll just pick up from the middle of verse 16 because it deals with prayer, and that's what we're doing tonight. And we want to learn a little bit from the Bible that can help us. James chapter 5, verse 16, second part of the verse begins, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, that's Elijah, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Will A. Vant, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this passage of Scripture to find out about prayer that avails much. That's what he's talking about here. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're going to take the time to pray, and you do, that's what you're doing here tonight, and you do at home throughout the week, then what we want to do is learn what the Bible instructs us in this passage about prayer that avails much. And the first thing that we see in this passage is prayer that avails much is prayer that is prayed by a righteous man. You see that? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, I don't think that's gender specific. A righteous man or a righteous woman, because you see both praying throughout the Bible. Now, we know that when we got saved, we were given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But after you're saved, it is possible to be unrighteous, to do things that are not right. And we've all experienced that when we've, you know, had sin in our life or something like that. But then there's the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 that says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And he's talking to people who are saved. He said, "But you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So when you read that passage, you recognize that it is possible for saved people to go back into adultery or to go into fornication or to go into, you know, other things that would affect their inheritance in the kingdom of God. We're familiar with that. Taught on that before, so we don't need to go in and examine that passage. So when he says here, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much," he's not only talking about somebody who's saved, but somebody who's living clean. Somebody that's taking care of the vessel. Keep your finger here for just a second and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul is writing to Christians in Corinth. And so, you know, when he says what he writes here, he is directing this at Christians. It's important for us to remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So Paul is telling the Corinthians that God wants us to cleanse ourselves. We do that through the Word of God. "Now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you." We do that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we have those cleansing things provided to us supernaturally by the Lord. "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh." So living here in the world, your flesh is going to come into contact with things that are going to defile it. And your spirit is going to come into contact with things that defile it. That's one of the reasons I mentioned to you, be very careful about what you look at on your computer, where you go. Be careful about what you watch on your television. Be careful about what you listen to. because those things can affect your spirit. They don't have to be obviously sinful. They can just be about a lot of things here on the earth instead of about a lot of things in heaven, and they can defile your spirit. So cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Watch it, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's written to Christians. So when he says here in James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, it goes more than just saying you're saved, but living in a right relationship with the Lord, living in fellowship with the Lord, living a life where you are cleansing yourself and where you are, your life is changing. Many of us could testify now, we're dealing with sin in our lives. We're not dealing with some of the ones that we've dealt with before. God's dealt with those things in our lives, and we're growing, fortunately. All right. So, notice then what the Lord says about prayers that come from people that are upright. Proverbs 15:9, listen to this. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:9. The prayer of the upright, listen, it's not only that he hears it, it's his delight. He wants to hear those prayers. 1 Peter 3:12 says this, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Tonight we're going to pray, and up in heaven, well, we've already prayed. And up there in heaven, the Lord's ears are open. He is ready to hear what you have to pray when you are in a right relationship with Him. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. You know that verse is true if you've ever been backslidden, because you've said or you've heard somebody else say it felt like God was a million miles away. And what that is that separation that affects your prayer life and your fellowship with the Lord. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. In Proverbs 28, I'm not asking you to turn to these because I want you can hear them. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. It's not only that he didn't want to hear it, but it's like, get that out of here. You know, the Lord told us, I want you to obey the ordinances of men. I put those authorities in place, and I want you to be subject to them. And when Christians live above the law, in other words, the law is not contrary to God's law. It was when the Pharisees said, you don't preach in the name of Jesus, and Jesus said, you better preach in my name. Well, then they had to live above the law because that authority was no longer an authority. But when the authorities in place by the Lord are not contrary to the law of God and you attempt to live above the law, the Lord says, that's not prayer I want to listen to. He says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So listen, if you want prayer that avails much in your life, then the first thing to do is deal with your relationship with the Lord and make sure that the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you because of your salvation is what you're yielding to so that it is producing the fruit of righteousness in your life. It brings you into a place with the Lord where your prayer is something that He delights in, He hears, and answers. Now, the second thing in this text is this. Prayer that avails much, first of all, is prayer that is prayed from a righteous man, righteous person. Second, prayer that avails much has three aspects. It's effectual, it is fervent, and in verse 17, it is earnest. He prayed earnestly. It is effectual, it is fervent, and it is earnest. What is effectual prayer? Well, it helps to look these words up sometimes. Because you think you know what they are by hearing them, but the definition confirms that you do in fact know what it is. Effectual prayer is a prayer that is able to produce a desired effect. Okay, well, so that means that the desired effect has to be stated. You know, you say, Lord, bless the service tonight. Well, he can do that, but is there something specific that you wanted him to do in that prayer? The example of Elijah given in this passage, Elias was a man subject to like passions who we are, just like we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. You might feel that way in a little while yourself. Well, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and see what that was. Keep your finger there, James. We'll be back. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. What is that prayer? What happened there? You don't know anything about Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 1. Boom, he just shows up on the scene. But notice this. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. So here comes this prophet, and you know how he's dressed. And he's come to President Trump. I mean, he came to Ahab the king. Boom. And he says to him, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That is a bold, that's a bold statement. How did he know that? This was his prayer. How did he know that? Number one, he was praying to the Lord God of Israel that liveth. Do you realize that when you pray, you're praying to the God of the universe who is alive, and he is the only God in the universe who is alive? Okay, we know the devil is the god of this world who is opposed to him, but I mean, all these guys that pray to statues and beads, they're not talking to anybody. When you go to God and you say, our Heavenly Father, you are talking to a living God, the living God. And he says, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand. You know, it is an amazing thing that because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get to go to him and call him Father. We are going to finish up this service in a little while, and Lizzie's going to get out of the nursery, and Emma's going to get out of the nursery, and she's going to come running in here. She's going to holler, hop, and jump up in my arms. You have that relationship with God Almighty. You can stand before him. Now, how do you enter his presence? You know how you enter his presence? According to Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Right? And into his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise are the spiritual sacrifices that we as priests of the Lord are able to offer him according to Hebrews chapter 13. And we are priests that offer spiritual sacrifices according to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. And when you offer thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, he just opens it up. Like, remember when Esther had to go before King Ahasuerus and she was all worried about that? He might not lower the scepter. You come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and you know you are standing. He said, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You get to run in to Abba, Father, and make your request known. That's what a privilege that we have tonight to do that, or every day. He said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. And look at this. But according to my word. Do you understand that when he talked to God and said, hold it off, he was assured in his prayer that God would not turn it back on until Elijah said, turn it back on. That is effectual prayer. That's like, God, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do, and then I'll tell you when I'm ready for you to change that. You say, how in the world can you do that? I think you got to be in a pretty good relationship with the Lord to be able to walk in there like that and talk to him. But go back toward James And when you get there, go just a little bit further to 1 John chapter 5 and notice something. 1 John chapter 5 and notice something. There is confidence. I mean, he prayed to the living God. He prayed in God's presence. He prayed specifically. He prayed confidently. Look at this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Wow. Whew. That's effectual prayer. That is the confidence of being able to stand before God, having entered into His presence, and being able to pray according to His will, knowing that at your word it's done and at your word it's undone. You think maybe a little season of prayer helps there a little bit? Certainly I would think the more that you do that, the more certain you are of your standing with the Lord to be able. That's effectual prayer. And you know what? It produced the desired result. Elijah said, "No rain, Lord." The Lord said, "Fine with me. I was tired of sending it anyway." And then the second thing is that it's fervent, fervent prayer. What is fervent prayer? Fervent is very hot. Glowing, marked by great intensity of feeling. It's kind of like this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Fervent prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications, here we go, with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared, with strong crying and tears. Now there are times, your child, grandchild, great-grandchild, ends up in the hospital in an emergency situation, and the tears are going to flow. Your spouse ends up in a difficult situation and the tears are going to flow. They do. They're fervent prayers. Boy, you already know, you've already experienced that in your own life. Certainly, when your prayers are fervent for other things as well, when you intercede with strong crying and tears, which is what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing here, that type of prayer avails not just a little. We're talking about prayer that avails much. That avails much. There's something about that tearful approach to the Lord that gets His attention. It gets your attention. Husbands, when your wife comes to you in tears, it gets your attention. It really does. I'll read this for you, Psalm 39, verse 12. David is praying, he says, Psalm 39, 12, he says this, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were." But he was approaching the Lord, and he said, "Hold not thy peace at my tears." He's the ruler of the country. And he is a man of, he's a warrior, he's a valiant man. And yet, when it came to this, he was able to approach the Lord tearfully. So, prayer that avails much is not only effectual, you know, that it produces the desired effect because you've come in like Elijah did, very specifically, very confidently. But it's fervent prayer. It's something that it elicits feeling in you. It's your as it says, hot and glowing. A great intensity of feeling. And then this. It is earnest prayer. Again, back here in James chapter 5, he said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. What is earnest prayer? Earnest prayer is prayer that proceeds from an intense and serious state of mind. It is very important to you. That doesn't necessarily mean that it elicits tears or feelings like fervency, or that you're producing the desired effect like effectual. It means you are dead serious about what you're coming in there to talk to the Lord about. This is serious business, Lord. I need your help. Often when we come in here and we're praying, I'm thinking like, a major decision our country is making this week, as you heard earlier, or about these men that just got saved, or a prayer request that I'm going to give you. If we could bring those to the Lord with the same importance that we come to Him about something that we need, like a bill paid or whatever it may be, it changes the result according to this passage. It avails much. We've been okay on time. Let me give you something real quick. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll close over here. Nehemiah chapter 1. And then we're going to take some prayer requests. I just think it's important for you to see an earnest prayer. An earnest prayer. All right. Nehemiah was told that by one of his brethren that the Jews in Jerusalem were in great affliction and reproach, and that the walls were broken down. And this is evidently the first he's heard of it. And it was very distressing for him. So in verse 4, Nehemiah 1:4, he begins to pray. "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept." See the fervency? "And mourned certain days and fasted." Do you see the earnestness? When it's serious enough that you are going to fast and pray, you see the earnestness, the fervency, the weeping and the fasting, "and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven." Who's he talking to? The living God. "The great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." See the obedience, the righteous man. "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned." See the righteous man. "Against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments." The Lord says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "Nor the statutes nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." Verse 8, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them in unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." Do you see how he's praying according to the will of God? God said, "I'll do that thing." And he says, "Okay, I want to remind you, I'm praying according to the will of God." So now he's got confidence in his prayer. "These are thy servants and thy people," verse 10, "whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." And in the next chapter, God grants him the mercy. He sat in the presence of the king, which is enough to get a man killed. And the king said, "What are you sad? I've never seen you with a sad countenance before." He said, "My people and the walls." He said, "What do you need?" He said, "I need to go over there and I need to get those walls built and I need the supplies to get it done." King says, "You can have anything you want and you have the time." He got that prayer answered because it was effectual, it was fervent, it was earnest, and it was prayed by a righteous man who made sure of his righteousness in standing before God by confessing and having his unrighteousness cleansed. Isn't that remarkable? Good stuff. If you want prayer that avails much, pray it this way. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see clearly from the Scripture such great instruction help us to not only remember these things, to be edified by what we've heard today, but more importantly, help us to learn to put this in practice. And Father, tears don't flow easily from us when it's about somebody else. And I pray, Father, you'll help us with that tonight so that our prayers will be fervent to you, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.